This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you for joining us today. The Sierra Leone Civil War was a brutal conflict that lasted a little over a decade and had a significant impact on the country and its youth. New research spotlights the influence that pop culture figures had on young Sierra Leonean fighters during the war.
And so they wanted to be like Tupac, and they also used, just like followers of Marley, they also used a lot of drugs. So this is, they exploited the messages of Tupac to fuel the war.
That is Mark Summers, an acclaimed researcher and author. He joins us to talk about his new book, We the Young Fighters, Pop Culture, Terror and War in Sierra Leone. And what is the connection between antibiotic resistance and air pollution?
Two of the regions that are going to be most heavily hit potentially by the link between air pollution and antimicrobial resistance, and that correlation was, I believe, North Africa and Western Asia nations in terms of rise of antimicrobial resistance.
That is Professor Christopher Reed of Bryant University in Rhode Island. And first, let's hear from you, our listeners. Liberians went to the polls on October the 10th to elect their next president and legislators to represent them in parliament. We asked Liberians what they were looking for in their next leader. This is what they said.
I want our next president to lead us with passion, lead us with integrity, lead us with transparency. Because with all of what people have done in the past, at least each time he do a work, he document it, that people will be able to see and be able to put their trust in them, have passion from the country, not to use the resources for his or her own personal gain, but rather to use it for the benefit of the people.
My name is Master Piga. I want our next president to make sure that our judiciary system to be efficient in terms of dispensing duty for all Liberians and even our guests within the country.
Good morning, Liberians. Good morning to the world. My name is Ade Woods. I want a peaceful and transparent election. And what I want for my next president is to create new jobs for the youth, women empowerment, and a corruption-free president.
Well, I'm Stephen Jugba, a Liberian. I want my next president to be loyal to the people. When he make promises, he should go by those promises. It shouldn't just be failed promises. Thank you.
Many thanks to all of you for your contribution to our question of the day. In case you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. The civil war in Sierra Leone, which broke out in March of 1991 and ended in 2002, was described as one of the bloodiest conflicts in Africa. It started when the armed group known as the Revolutionary United Front, RUF, led by Fode Sanko, attempted to overthrow the government of President Joseph Momo. During the war, various rebel groups abducted and forcibly recruited young people, turning them into child soldiers. This had a devastating effect on the youth population, as they were exposed to violence, trauma, and loss at an early age. A new book by Mark Summers, an acclaimed author and researcher, examines how pop culture figures like American rapper Tupac Shakur, reggae icon Bob Marley, and the movie character Rambo inadvertently radicalized young fighters and other disenfranchised youth to fight a terror-based war that lasted 11 years, resulting in the death of more than 50,000 people, with half a million others displaced. Mark joins me in studios here at the Voice of America.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. How did you get interested in this subject matter? What inspired you?
So I was doing research. First of all, it's a pleasure to see you to be back here. I was doing research with Sierra Leonean refugees in the Gambia in the year 2000. And before I asked my questions, I asked some of the refugees, how did you get here? So they could tell their story. And they started talking about Tupac, and I didn't know what they were talking about at first, because I thought they were talking about, you know, flight from Freetown, because they were from Freetown, the capital. So what happened was they were talking about the rebels in some parts of the city came in wearing Tupac T-shirts, They arrived in vans and trucks with the names of Tupac songs on the side.
Like Tupac Shakur, the American
American rapper, big yes, superstar.
Yes, yes.
And it was Hit 'Em Up and California Love and Only God Can Judge Me.
Yeah.
And they jumped out and they were very high on drugs and they started doing their attack. And then, after the discussion about Tupac from one part of the city, in another part of the city, other refugees said, no, but in our neighborhood, everybody, all the rebels came wearing Bob Marley t-shirts, playing reggae music from Bob Marley music, smoking marijuana, and then they did their attacks. Mm-hmm. So this was, to me...
That's quite fascinating.
I was stunned. I never expected this.
So you go from a conversation with refugees on how they left their country to now talking about these pop culture figures.
Right.
American pop culture figure Tupac Shakur, 4 years after his death. Is, you know, still very much relevant. So they were narrating all these stories about Tupac and then Bob Marley. And then, so what about John Rambo? How did that...
So Rambo was popular for the films. He was seen as, in the war, as the perfect warrior.
Yeah.
And it turned out that the rebels would use his movies as military training videos. So it was Rambo films, the music and style of Bob Marley, and the music and style of Tupac all came together and were exploited, I have to make that clear, by military leaders to drive the war.
Mm. All right, so let's go back again a little bit. The Civil War in Sierra Leone lasted about 11 years. Devastating in every aspect. Give us a brief history into this conflict. What were the circumstances that led to the war?
So there was, before the war, there was really strong level of corruption. And the government was really run in a way almost like a business for a long time by this one leader named Shaka Stevens, who was the president for 18 years. And Sierra Leone's famous for its diamonds. Shaka Stevens had a network, a system where he took the diamonds. He and his colleagues, he and his other politicians.
And his cabal.
His network. And really left very little for the government. The government was very weak by intention.
Mm-hmm.
The military was very weak by intention as well. And then he had these kind of, these two groups of security forces that he created that were loyal to him. And so it was unequal. It was violent. And you couldn't, what was key is you couldn't, there was no peaceful dissent allowed. So what happened was in the 1960s, marijuana comes into the country and is raised as a, and grown as a crop, and it's very powerful. And then in the 1970s, Marley comes. And so people who
are Marley.
Bob Marley and other, and Burning Spear, Peter Tosh, start coming, reggae music. And the idea was that if you were a follower, you smoked marijuana and you listened to reggae music and it made you conscious of injustice.
Mm.
And so these were the, this was sort of the beginning of the resistance in a way.
Get up, stand up.
That was the big song. And then in the 80s, the Rambo movies came.
Yeah.
And one of the things about Sierra Leone, which I think is important, is that the lingua franca is Creole, which is it's an English Creole language.
Mm-hmm.
What that meant was that almost everybody in the country could understand at least some English. So Marley speaks very slowly. It's pretty easy to understand if you know a bit of English.
Mm-hmm.
Rambo's movies, he doesn't say much in most
that
of his
the
movies.
Action.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then in 1990s, Rambo comes in. I mean, Tupac comes in. His music comes in right around when the war begins. And so at that point, the corruption and sort of the weakness of the government, and I think the very, very blatant inequality in the country, you know, made it very difficult for people, especially when there's no peaceful dissent.
Mm.
So the stage was set for a rebellion.
So how did the leadership use those elements to recruit and control these young people? Because mostly young people are the ones who are the drivers of this conflict. But there were people that were on top, the Fode Sankos and the others that we often hear about, you know, what Captain Mosquito, whatever was his name,
Commander Sam Bokeris. Yeah, Mosquito was the number two for most of the war.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did they manipulate, or how did they use these elements of culture to, I guess, recruit and influence young people to fight on their behalf?
So what happened was, I mean, when I look back on it after doing so much research for this book, I think it would have been very difficult not to draw on, particularly Bob Marley, if you were leading a war, because he was so influential with young people to an incredible degree. Also with adults, everybody knew Marley in particular, and most people had seen the Rambo movies and had memorized them. It turns out. So they came in. Even before the war started in Liberia, the commander training featured training with the Rambo movies for how to fight a war. And the first Rambo movie takes place in a rainforest in Northwest America. And it's a rainforest, and it's a guy who's low-tech, using low-tech weapons. And so those were known as Rambo tactics, what he did. And so the focus was on Rambo tactics. For Marley, it was really the ideology of resistance, of rebellion, of revolution. And so according to the ex-combatants and the former commanders I interviewed for the book, every single speech that Fode Sanko gave, he talked about Bob Marley. And Get Up, Stand Up, as you said, was the most important of the songs. So fighting for your rights, don't give up the fight. Those were ideas that Fode Sanko and the other rebel leaders started to draw from. But Marley was so popular that on the government side, leaders were also making reference to Bob Marley.
Interesting. And so they would play their music in their camps, during training. How would they access this media?
So in the units, so everything is kind of subdivided into small commander-led units. Mm-hmm. And in those units, the members, the ex-combatants would say, and the commanders would say, well, at night, we would listen to Marley and then smoke marijuana and try to become what they would call conscious of injustice and why we're fighting. And so I need to make it clear, what the military leaders said about Marley was not Bob Marley's intention.
Right.
It was exploited. They were exploiting it for their purposes of winning a war.
Absolutely.
In case you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Funganyi. We're chatting with author Mark Summers on his new book, We the Young Fighters, Pop Culture, Terror and War in Sierra Leone. In his book, Mark looks at the connection between pop culture figures Tupac Shakur, movie character Rambo, and reggae icon Bob Marley influenced young fighters during the war in Sierra Leone.
Underneath, was there any coherent political ideology?
Well, it's debated.
Here.
I have looked at this. There was ideology for the rebels. It was very much based on you've been exploited. It's a very young population. It was very youth-focused. Mm. So when we take over, you know, everybody's been, the leaders have been, we have diamonds, we have gold, we have timber. The leaders are taking it all.
Yes.
So this time when we come in, come in charge.
This is going to belong to you.
That's right.
Right.
But only for males.
Oh.
There was nothing in the ideology for female
That's
youth.
Very interesting. There's a gender dimension to this conflict, too.
A very big one.
Yes, talk to us a little bit about that. Did the boys experience war in the same way as the girls?
No. So, for the most part, there were small girls' units and then SBU's small boys' units. Those were kind of the small boys, the SBU's, were really in the lead of rebel attacks throughout the war. Small girls units did exist, and they were fighters, but a lot of what the girls were abducted, nothing was promised to them. The ideology did not have anything to say about females. And so it was very male-centered in terms of when we win, the boys, the male youth, the men are going to get everything. But for girls, they were abducted for purposes of marriage, forced marriage. And honestly sexual slavery.
And other forms of exploitation, basically.
Including farming marijuana.
Wow.
That was very important. That was known, marijuana to the rebels was known as government property.
Government property.
So anywhere it was, they better you better give it to them because it's government. That's what they would call it.
Now, you have written about conflict in many parts of the continent, but there was something very specific about the war or the conflict in Sierra Leone. You called it terror-based warfare. Explain to us what that means.
Yeah, so terror warfare is a way of fighting a war that was really perfected by the rebels in Sierra Leone. And the focus of terror warfare is not to kill people. They kill some, but mainly to terrorize people who are alive. So with fear, you can control people. With fear, you can drive people away, say, from the diamond mines. Mm-hmm. And it gives the impression that if the more people that run away, it gives the impression that you're a bigger army than you are. And then you can also abduct people, and use them as porters, spies. They were very good at spies, at surveillance, the rebels, extremely good, as fighters, and then for sexual purposes. So those are the idea is not to kill people so much, although obviously at least 50,000 were killed. So it's not like they didn't kill, but the focus was really on terror,
terrorizing people,
not on extermination.
And
this was not genocide.
Yeah.
This was really a very different kind of war.
What did they see in Tupac Shakur that resonated with them?
That's a great question. So Tupac was different. So the rebel leaders didn't care for him. The big rebel leaders. Mm. They loved Marley. They were all about Bob Marley and exploiting Bob Marley, you know, a distorted version of Marley. But they loved Marley. There was no question. Mm. What about Tupac? Tupac was popular with male youth. And one of the ways that male youth were put down before the war started was to call them thugs or a tug. So before Tupac said anything, the posters of Tupac showed Thug Life
on the, he had
his
tattoo of Thug Life on his
thug
belly.
Life, and all of us, I mean, he was a hero before they even heard his music, because here's a guy saying, yeah, I'm a thug. You got a problem with that? I'm not going to back away.
I'm not afraid to say
That's right. Yeah. And so there was something instantly heroic about Tupac. He had style. He was fearless. Now, for soldiers, being fearless is what they aim for. The only way they wanted to be like Tupac. So there were certain groups. The main one was the West Side Boys, which was named after Tupac's group, the West Side Boys or the West Side contingent of American rappers in the West Coast in California. And so they wanted to be like Tupac. And they also used, just like followers of Marley, they also used a lot of drugs. So this is, they exploited the messages of Tupac to fuel the war. But he was really quite a hero for male youth. Not really for anybody else.
Yeah. Not even the leaders themselves felt any type of...
some of the command leaders at a lower level.
Yes.
Yeah, they would say, well, yeah, go ahead and listen to Tupac.
Yeah.
Because there was a respect for Tupac because he was so honest. And what he was saying, just like Marley, they could see the reality of what he was singing about or rapping about in everyday life in Sierra Leone. Mm. So they would say about Marley and Tupac... Mm. It's like they're describing Sierra Leone.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
VOA Africa presents the latest news about Africa and the world and its news summaries. Africa in Brief airs every day at 400, 500 and 600 UTC. Give us 5 minutes of your time to be brought up to date. Africa in Brief, your trusted source for news.
This is Upfront on the Voice of America. We are chatting with Mark Summers about his new book, We the Young Fighters, Pop Culture, Terror and War in Sierra Leone. Mark writes about how some pop culture figures like rapper Tupac Shakur, reggae legend Bob Marley, and the movie character Rambo, played by movie star Sylvester Stallone, inadvertently radicalized young fighters and other youth
to fight a terror-based war that lasted 11 years. The war led to the death of over 50,000 people and 500,000 others displaced.
What is, in post-war Sierra Leone, did these figures have any type of role in the rebuilding reconstruction process?
Well, they did in ways that, Bob Marley, Tupac Shakur, may they rest in peace, never intended the ways that they were, their work would be exploited by, for war. After the war, what I think we really saw was how sophisticated the interpretations were of ordinary young people. So after the war, Rambo's movies were less popular, although they were for a while, but, they've moved on from war. But Tupac was like everyone, like for male youth who were really on the margins, really looked down upon. Mm. You would listen to Tupac to encourage yourself. He was like a friend of yours. He was really kind of, they describe him almost like a friend. Like one way of describing it is, Tupac, he fought in the American War. So so they related to him. And then Marley was really about getting inspiration from his ideas and, again, becoming conscious of injustice through smoking marijuana, listening to Marley. Mm-hmm. You could start to realize why you were in such a bad state. And for both of them, what they said was, you have to, believe in yourself. So Get Up, Stand Up was used to spur war during the war. Stand Up for Your Rights, Don't Give Up the Fight. So that was seen as a war kind of song. After the war, what it meant, the same song was used to say, believe in yourself. Don't let people push you away. You are someone. And Tupac's music, some of it is very focused on that too. Keep Your Head Up, for example, was an important song after the war.
That was Mark Summers. Mark is the author of the new book, We the Young Fighters, Pop Culture, Terror and War in Sierra Leone. He joined me here in studio at the Voice of America. Join us next week for our second part of our conversation with Mark.
What's up, Africa? You are listening to Upfront on the Voice of America.
This is Upfront on the Voice of America. According to a recent study conducted by researchers in China and the UK, rising levels of air pollution may be responsible for the increase in antibiotic resistance. The study, which was published in The Lancet Planetary Health, discovered a significant connection between antibiotic resistance and airborne particulate matter, a connection that the researchers claim is more prevalent in North Africa and parts of Asia. The researchers also project that by 2050, the number of premature deaths caused by resistant bacteria might be decreased by more than 20% if only nations adopted the World Health Organization's recommended policies to reduce air pollution. The report also says that controlling air pollution will reduce the economic costs related to treating antibiotic-resistant infections. To get a better understanding on this issue, I reached Christopher Reed, a professor of biological and biomedical sciences at Bryant University in Rhode Island. Professor Reed has conducted research on innovative solutions for bacterial and fungal infections. I started off by asking him to help us understand that link between air pollution and antimicrobial and antibiotic resistance.
So those studies have shown that using a large publicly available data sets that there is a really strong correlation between the rise in air pollution and the fact that we can detect antimicrobial resistance genes on this air pollution particulate matter and the rise in antibiotic resistance. I believe it showed that the most recent study in The Lancet showed that to the regions that are going to be most heavily hit potentially by the link between air pollution and antimicrobial resistance, and that correlation was, I believe, North Africa and Western Asia nations in terms of rise of antimicrobial resistance and the increasing air pollution and particulate matter.
And what specific air pollutants would you say are most concerning when it comes to antibiotic resistance?
So what these studies have been looking at is solid particulate matter, so usually in the 2 to 5 micron range, right? So aerosols, right, that can be inhaled, right, and get able to get deep within the lungs and can cause a variety of pulmonary disorders.
And how does antibiotic resistance spread through air pollution?
Well, that at the moment we don't really know, right? So we have several studies in the last few years to show that there a high percentage of this particulate matter tests positive for a variety of antimicrobial resistant genes, but we really don't know how yet this particulate matter contributes directly to the rise of antimicrobial resistance.
Mm. And are there geographic areas that are more affected than others?
So the most recent study in The Lancet, those authors showed that the more heavily hit areas are African nations, particularly North African nations, as well as Western Asian countries and some nations in the Middle East.
So just to get, a better understanding, does air pollution actually directly cause antibiotic resistance in bacteria?
That's something we yet don't know and is something that needs to be further studied.
So there's more research needed to fully understand the connection between air pollution and antibiotic resistance. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's no concrete that it directly contributes to spread. There could be several ways that air pollution could contribute to the antimicrobiotic resistant problem, but we need more research in the area.
And what are some of the health risks associated with this?
Right, so in case of health risks with antimicrobial resistance, we're going to increase infections that we do not currently have effective antibiotics for, which can lead to more severe infections, increased hospitalizations, right, which creates an increased burden on the healthcare system in the nation, as well as some of these antibiotic-resistant infections could result in very severe, long-lasting problems, as well as result in death.
And finally, I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that can be done to mitigate the impact of air pollution on antibiotic resistance?
So kind of the way to be able to kind of combat this antimicrobial resistance problem, right, there's several ways, right, to target this. One is through good antibiotic stewardship, right, controlling overuse of antibiotics in agricultural settings with livestock, and also we need research and development of new antimicrobials, which is that is an area in which my research lab here at Bryant is involved in the discovery and development of new antimicrobial agents to address this growing problem.
That is Eric Reed, a professor of biological and biomedical sciences at Bryant University in Rhode Island. And with that, we come to the end of our show today. Many thanks to our guests and to you, our listeners, whether you tuned in via our affiliate stations, FM or shortwave, or via our online podcast at voaafrica.com. Remember to connect with us on our social media platforms. We are on Facebook, on Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our videos. Remember to like, share, and to subscribe. Until next time, let's connect same time right here on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Have a great week ahead, Africa.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcast. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOANews.com.